Good day and welcome to the Vienna International Airport Preliminary Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Judith Hellini. Please go ahead.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for the preliminary results presentation for Vienna Airport. As we are used to, the presentation will be recorded and it will be available later on, either today in the afternoon or tomorrow at our homepage as a replay. The slides you can find also at our homepage under the segment presentations. The presentation will be held by Mr. Günther Ofner and Mr. Julian Jäger, our board members, and will be followed after that by a Q&A session. And now I'd like to hand over to you, Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for your interest. We presented our preliminary yearly results today, and we are a little bit proud that we could do it roughly 1 month earlier than in previous years. And I would lead you through the main results and figures. And what we want to stress is that all our major strategic goals could be reached in 13, despite the fact that we had a slight decline in passenger numbers, which was the result of a rather nasty year, including bad winter conditions, strikes in Germany, and the political crisis in Egypt and in the Middle East, and also the restructuring of Austrian Airlines and Niki Berlin. What is significant is that we could increase our productivity in line with our plans. So looking at EBITDA margin, you will see that it's a continuous progress, starting with 31.5 in 2010. And reaching the level of 38.8 this year, which was driven by sustainable cost reductions, both in operating, financing, and personal costs, and also substantial and increasing contributions from all our main subsidies. The message for 14 overall should be that the company will be returning to growth, especially in regard of passengers, but also of revenue and earnings. And I will come down to the detailed expectations a little bit later. What highly contributed to the good shape of our financials was that the costs overall for check-in 3 now we'll end up somewhere around 725, which is more than 100 million below budget. And this decrease also due to the arbitration court ruling late December last year helped us also to reduce the debt and investments. And you might wonder why investments now are down and CapEx at 73. This is triggered by the fact that major parts of the award of the arbitration court have been deducted against production costs, and this reduced the visibility of investments down to 73. The overall strategy to improve quality and relations and add additional frequencies and destinations should be supported in the following years by the utilization of the non-aviation parts of our business, and the overall goal is to develop our airport towards an airport city concept. The way down the road. Going into the details of our revenues, it was an increase from 607 to 622, which is slightly below our guidance, and which is the effect of 0.7 decline in passenger numbers. On the other hand, our EBITDA with 241.5 is 20 million higher than last year, and a plus of 9.1%, reflecting the improvements in almost all sectors of our company. On EBIT level, it's 112, so 4 million more than last year, which reflects the fact that in 13 we had the first year of a full depreciation of Check-in 3, so 16 million have had to be added, and if we come down to the financial results, we had to digest another 5 million because in the first quarter of 12 we capitalized interest, which was now full in the expenses. So given that fact, the financial result of minus 15.3 comes better than expected. So profit before tax was 96.8, up 3.2%, and deducting taxes results in 73.3, which is fairly above our guidance we gave initially of plus 65, and slightly ahead of what we saw in the last quarter with 70 plus. In line with our guidance for our dividend policy to pay out roughly 40% of net profit, including the higher payout ratio of 2011, we will propose to our General Assembly to increase the dividend to 1.30 euros, which is an increase of 32.8%. What I think should be added, and when we had our call last time, several of you asked these questions. Yes, from today's perspective, we think that the cost reductions are sustainable, so it's not simply a one-off effect. I think that over the board, we will see a sustainable reduction in both financing costs, personal costs, and materials and others. And being asked, is there some more potential? Yes, slightly improvement should also be possible in 14, but it will not be the same amount and the same speed as we saw so far, and we will have to collect some smaller fruits, but we are still in search of fruits and are keen to harvest them. So taking on with our financial structure, you see that our free cash flow has been increased by 122%, up to 180 million, which is also connected with the reduction of our net debt of roughly 86.3 million, which brought us near the midterm goal of net debt EBITDA 2.5, what we are optimistic to reach in 14. So net debt was reduced to 633 and gearing to roughly 70%, and the increase in our cash flow from operating activities was 13.7% to 204. CapEx, as already explained, roughly 73, and this for sure will be higher in 14. So our best guess for now is around 110. Equity could be increased by 54 million euros up to 905, and the equity ratio from 41 to 46 percent, which shows quite a good improvement. I mean, the share price you are analyzing for sure, so I don't need to comment the slide in detail, but I think the overall development of the company is also reflected in the increased market capitalization. What can we expect from 14? I think we can confirm our growth and earnings expectations. So for the revenue, we should exceed 630. For EBITDA, we should clearly stay above 240. And net profit should also come down higher than 75 million euros. And our net debt position should stay maybe slightly below or below 600 million. As we already discussed on our last call, from today's perspective, we are on the very safe side with our expectations. And if we see traffic on the higher end of our expectations, we could do better than the figures you find in our guidance. CapEx, as already mentioned, might come above 100 to 110 million, and is including the finalization of our and renovation of our cargo building, the building of a new hangar, the completion of our train station, and several other issues that are have been started, like a new cargo position and things like that. So it's nothing extraordinary. It's more or less ordinary course of business. And reflecting a potential question, what we expect for our net cash flow position, I think from today's perspective, it could be expected that up to 16, we should produce positive net cash flows. Up to that year, from today's perspective, we can be pretty sure that our cash flow will be above our investments. So that's from my part, and I hand over to Mr. Jäger.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will quickly flip you through a few details in respect of our segment results. To start with the airport segment, I think the main message here is that on the one hand we managed to increase revenue by 5.1% despite a quite significant decrease in the number of movements and a slight decrease in the number of passengers. One of the reasons you can see on this slide as well is we are mainly dependent from a revenue perspective from the passengers. 72% of our airport revenues are coming from passenger-related charges, and only 23% are coming from aircraft-related charges. I think despite the fact that 2013 was the first year of full operation of our new terminal, Check-in 3, we managed a good cost control. Just to give you one example, the other operating expenses decreased by 13.5 million in 2012, in 2013 over 2012, and there was only a slight increase in personnel expenses despite the full year of operation of the new terminal and despite the very strong winter, which saw obviously increases in de-icing of the runways and the whole apron. The decrease in the EBIT was to be expected due to the significant increase in the depreciation. Let me come to the handling segment, which saw very positive results. In the handling segment, we have the results of, on the one hand, our ground handling division, and on the other hand, the security services, cleaning services, and ground handling of general aviation. I think the main message here is that a very strict cost control was key to manage to get these results, and we managed to decrease our staffing in handling, ground handling, and security by 230 people over 2011. Obviously, we are hard hit in this segment due to the decrease in aircraft movement. And on the other hand, which worked in our favor, was the strong winter with a significant increase in revenues from the icing of aircraft. So to a certain extent, there were positive one-offs, the extra revenue from the icing. On the other hand, we expect that cargo should increase this year significantly, and there should be a positive revenue impact from the cargo segment this year. As you probably know, our forecast for aircraft movements is stagnant, and we expect something between minus 1% and plus 1% in aircraft movements. Strategic decision which won't have any significant impact on our results in the next 2 or 3 years, but still worth mentioning, is our decision to enter into the passenger handling due to the fact that our ramp handling competitor Celebi acquired the second biggest passenger handling agent here in Vienna, and therefore we decided to start our own small subsidiary company to offer the passenger handling services ourselves, mainly to be a full service provider here, as Celebi is, and we don't expect any major or any significant impact in terms of revenues or costs in the next 24 months. On the long run, I think it could develop to improve our strategic position here as the main ground handling airport agent on the airport. But it's worth mentioning probably as well that we managed to extend our contracts with Lufthansa, Swiss, and EasyJet in 2013, and together with the long-term contracts of Austrian and Air Berlin Niki, we feel we are in a good position to defend our very high market share, which was 88.5% in 2013. Retail and property, this is the segment where we should have some significant growth rates in the coming years. The strongest growth in this segment in 2013 was due to an increase in advertising. So the increase was 6.2%. The increase in the revenue from shopping and gastronomy was 2.9%. As you know, or as you probably know, we opened 29 new shops in 2013. We had an IRR of 1.9 euros per passenger, and we expect this to grow to 2 to 2.1 euros in 2014. In 2015, we expect a significant growth due to the fact that in 2014 we still have some important projects ongoing. We will refurbish 4,000 square meters of existing retail and gastronomy space. We renew the main shopping area in the old terminal. We doubled the space of the existing duty-free shop up to 1,300 square meters. It will be a fully fledged walk-through duty-free. We are increasing the shopping space in our Pier West, which is the non-Star Schengen terminal, and therefore we expect a significant but not extremely exciting increase in revenue in 2014, but then in 2015 there should be obviously a further increase. The only area where we saw a reduction in revenue was parking, minus 4.4%, due to, at least to a certain extent, the changing behavior of consumers. We saw as well an increase in our subsidiary company, City Airport Train, of plus 4.6%, and overall we feel that more people use public transport. But on the other hand, we want to increase quality in parking. We are looking at an increase of local passengers, and therefore we expect and we want to use the internet more to sell our parking spaces, so therefore we expect parking revenues to increase in the future. On the right-hand side, you can see that the revenue shares are pretty much divided in three parts, in three equal parts, parking, shopping, and rental. Maybe a few words before we come to the Q&A session in respect of our traffic forecast. As you know, our forecast for 2014 is something between plus 1% and plus 3%. We are optimistic to be within our guideline in 2014 due to a number of new destinations and increased frequencies and a number of new airlines. So the development here in the last few weeks and months was overall positive. We got new airlines like Jet2Com, Air Algérie, Air China, China Southern Cargo, and we are in discussions with a number of other airlines as well. And on the other hand, we see an additional long-haul route to Newark by Austrian. We see some new Niki destinations. We see more frequencies to London from British Airways and from Austrian Airlines. More frequencies from TAP to Lisbon. So overall, we are confident to be within our guideline. On the other hand, in respect of flight movements, the outlook is somewhat stagnant. For this year, we think will be something between minus 1% and plus 1%. And even on the midterm, whilst we are still optimistic to be or to have a growth rate between 2010 and 2020 between 3 and 4%. We think flight movements won't have a drastic increase in the coming years. What we see from Austrian Airlines is, and I think we've discussed this already last time here as well, they will change their Fokker fleet into bigger aircraft, which should increase the seat capacity per plane by something between 25 and 35%. But on the other hand, it might lead as well to a reduction in the number of aircraft. So therefore, we are very cautiously optimistic on the increase in flight movements, which probably adds some pressure on the ground handling. But overall, I think the effect is very positive on the company. As you've seen in terms of airport charges, we are hardly dependent on the aircraft-related fees. And on the other hand, we can better utilize our existing infrastructure and therefore the need for a third runway might be shifted in the future by a few years. Yeah, thank you very much for your attention, and now we are open for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now move to our first question from Andy Jones from RBC.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking the question. I just had a couple, please. Firstly, could you help maybe with a little guide on other operating income for next year? Because it's been a little volatile over the past couple of years. I think 24 million for the past 2 years, down to 15 million. What should we be thinking for, you know, 14, 15? And that's the first question. And then second question, I couldn't help but notice that the prior year EBITDA numbers had been restated for something across the divisions. Could you tell me what the restatement was there and why it seems to have kind of shifted over to the other or unallocated division, and just kind of how should be thinking about that. And then finally, the last question is around your guidance. I just want to check I'm not missing something, given your EBITDA and CapEx guidance, you know, less a bit of tax and less a bit of interest. The net debt figure seems to be, well, you should be on for around 100 million of free cash flow, and net debt should only reduce by 30 million. You know, is there something I'm missing in between that? I know there's a dividend in there, but you know, just want to check I'm not ignoring something silly like cash tax or something. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your question. I will start with your last one. One of the reasons why we are a little bit cautious about the overall positive cash flow for next year is the fact that if we would receive a positive decision in the second instance for our third runway project, this would mean that capitalized costs would have been to paid out in the range of roughly 30 million. So we are not quite sure. We cannot really guess about that, if a decision will come or not. But we are a little bit cautious in that regard, because this would finally reduce our net cash position more or less in this amount. Regarding other operating costs, I think income. We are not expecting major changes, but what you see in there in 2013 are some of the damage claims we received in the amount of roughly 4 million, and also some other provisions we could release, and yeah, more or less that's the extraordinary part for 13 in regard of that. And sorry, I did not exactly get what you meant with EBITDA restatement.
Yeah, I'm just when it came to tapping the numbers into the model this morning, the divisional EBITDAs of the 2012 number don't seem to kind of tally up with what you reported last year. As a result, the other unallocated is a lot higher, and the divisions are a little lower. I'm sure it's just a cost allocation thing, but I'm just trying to think about how we should model that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, what you see there is that we changed in the last quarter form of attributing not attributable costs to all segments, because we changed a little bit our reporting for the segments. So the cost allocation to the different segments was changed in the last quarter.
Okay. Okay, so, and we should explain nothing.
If you need further clarification, I think Mrs. Heleny will at all time be ready for you to find out if there is any deviation we have not seen so far.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thanks.
We'll now take the next question from Alex Brignell from UBS.
Afternoon, guys. Thank you very much for taking the question. I have just one more, which is a bit of a follow-on, boring one, about the components of the free cash flow. Just looking at the operating number and putting in the stuff that you have for the balance sheet, I'm trying to see if there's some other move, a positive working capital move or something that gets me to the cash flow from operating activities of the 205. I'm probably being ignorant, but I can't just get there myself. So if you can give me the components of that, that would be really appreciated. Other two questions, just in terms of de-icing this year. Obviously, you benefited last year.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything so far? You've had a fair chunk of the
no ice today. And so far.
Okay.
15 degrees.
Lovely. I'm very happy for you. We don't really have the same here. But if you can
what we saw last year, and you are pointing to a valid issue, is that we had a very substantial income from de-icing, but on the other hand, we had higher expenses in total for the winter. So overall, the very extreme winter situation produced additional net costs. So yes, it might affect this year's revenue in the first quarter, because I think the icing was around 7 million last year, and the major part of that in the first quarter. So this could affect a little bit the revenue, but it would definitely not affect, from today's perspective, our net income. It should be overall a positive influence that it's rather warm and no snow or ice visible, at least for the coming weeks.
Okay.
In regard of cash flow, that was better. I mean, the major part, we repaid open liabilities towards the banks, and a major part was CapEx.
Okay.
So if we go through it, it was 22 million payment for dividend. It was 132.5, reducing our financial debts, and the rest was the rest.
Okay.
So CapEx and whatever was what had to be paid, taxes and so on.
Okay, and then just
and the liquid funds have been reduced accordingly. So our position at the end of the year in 12 was 111 million on three bank accounts, and it was 40 million end of 13. Sorry. I took the wrong line. It was 40 million in 12, end of 12. And 3.9 million end of 13. So the part you might be missing is 36 million, a reduction in free bank accounts.
Okay, that's great. Sorry, we're boring analysts, so we just, I think, like...
No, you do your work. That's fine for us.
I was primarily trying to get to the 204 number. I'm very happy to take this offline if I'm boring other people on the call. It's just the components of that I'm struggling with. But I'll speak with Judith regarding that.
So what it contains of?
Yeah, exactly. To get to the 204 that compares to 179.
So the 204 has 96 as a result before taxes, 129 depreciation, minus at equity contributions, plus dividend of 3 million from our subsidies, and 10 million reduction in working capital, and 13 million in long-term liabilities, and tax payment of 60.
Okay.
So it was 220 minus 16 for taxes.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. The last one I had was just on Austrian Airlines and what the latest discussions are. You've given some guidance on long-term, but just, I guess, on what their exacting plans for this year are, if you have anything you can say on that.
Yeah, sure. Austrian Airlines has announced that they will, as you know, on the one hand, get another 777 by mid-year, which they will use to Newark. They've announced that they start again to operate Tehran. They've announced that they will do some increases, frequency increases to London. They'll do some additional frequencies, 5 weekly frequencies to St. Petersburg. Or they started already last year, but there will be obviously a very positive effect in 14. So overall, on the other hand, they announced that they will reduce some frequencies to Austrian regional airports. So in general, we think there will be obviously a positive effect from the additional long-haul aircraft. But on the other hand, and this is what we see on a daily basis, they are still very strict with short-term cancellations. So what you see in the flight plan does not necessarily mean that this is what they actually fly, but there are a lot of short-term cancellations, and they are obviously, like many other airlines in Europe as well, being very much driven by cost control. On the midterm, we are still optimistic that Austrian will grow here in Vienna. On the one hand, due to the effect I spoke already about before, they have to change the Fokker fleet. They will get. They have not taken a decision which aircraft they will purchase, but it will be definitely significantly bigger aircraft. On the other hand, it is their plan, yet not approved by the supervisory board, but it is the plan to add one long-haul aircraft per year until the year 2018. So it's the intention to grow the long-haul network, and I think it's the intention to keep their short and medium haul network pretty much as it is, and change some destinations to big aircraft, and other destinations to small aircraft, utilizing their Dash 8 fleet more than they do right now. So I think this is the medium-term plan, and overall I think Austrian is definitely heading in the right direction. The only still big question mark is obviously their court case due to their shift from the employees from Austrian Airlines to their subsidiary Tyrolean, and this probably will take still 1 or 2 years until this is finally decided. So I think from a business perspective, from a management perspective, Austrian is on a very good way. Obviously, with this question mark left on this court decision.
Thank you very much for the answers.
Next question comes from Bernd Maurer from CB.
Good afternoon. Two questions I have. First, Mr. Jäger, I come back to the. You outlined a bit of reshaping of shopping and gastronomy. In 2015, you said, can you repeat, please, the intended measures and how many square meters will be added as a net figure? And can you share a target figure of spending per passenger with us for 2015, meaning you guided an increase to 2 euros to 2.1 euros per passenger in 2014? How big this figure should be in 2015? This would be question one. And question two is coming to parking revenues, which declined by 4.4% last year, which is a significantly bigger drop than the decline in passenger figures. Do you have any reason for the decline in parking revenues? Is it because of price elasticity, as parking is quite expensive at the airport in Vienna, or do you know any other reasons for the drop?
Yeah, starting with your second question, I mean, yes, it is a decline, but it is in line with some shift of using more public transportation. I mean, we discussed the issue with one of the leading advisory companies, which was working the last years in Germany, and they already earlier saw that the trends, and definitely they advised us not to lower any prices because they think that we are very good in line with our peers. And on the other hand, there is a substantial bundle of measures we will undertake, starting from enhancement of quality, including booking possibilities via internet and a lot of other things, also marketing throughout our catchment area to inform our customers more closely about the diversity of possibilities, how to park at the airport, how to save costs in regard of that and enhance their comfort. So we are addressing this issue, but the underlying trend for sure will somehow continue, meaning that especially in a big city like Vienna, more and more people are using public transportation, and this is also affecting our revenues there.
Okay.
Given the overall mixture that in 14 we will see very likely an increase in domestic and local passengers on a higher percentage than from transit passengers, this could somehow support the situation in 14.
Did you increase parking tariffs with the beginning of the year 2014, or did they stay the same as last year?
Parts of it will be increased from the 1st of April, and this is especially the part which is sold through the travel agencies, which is a very major part, but the discount there is roughly 40 to 50%.
Okay.
And what we are trying to do also in the coming periods is to somehow lower the gap between the so-called ordinary tariffs and these discounts.
Okay, thank you very much.
Come to your first question regarding the changes in the shopping area.
Mm-hmm.
We will refurbish 4,000 square meters of shopping and F&B areas in 2014, which is quite significant given that we have roughly 18,000 square meters shopping space in total. We will add 1,000 square meters of shopping and F&B space in Pier West. So the refurbishment there means as well that we will add some shopping space in Pier West.
Can you repeat the number, please?
1,000 square meters additionally.
Sorry, how many?
1,000.
1,000, thank you.
And it's our intention to, I mean, we still have a few hundred square meters not rented out in our new terminal, and it's the intention to rent out that space completely until the end of this year. So having seen all those measures, we expect a significant increase in IRR in 2015, but I think it's too early to give you a clear guidance on that. First, we'll see how 2014 goes. I reiterate our guidance here that we expect something between 2 and 2.1 euros, and we'll get back to you later this year to give you a guidance for 2015 or January 2015 at the latest.
I understand. Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from Johannes Braun from Commerzbank.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I have two. First one is on your financial guidance. If I take the low point of your EBITDA guidance, which is 240 million, I can see that this number is lower than the 2013 number, and I was just wondering why this is the case, given that traffic should grow and also retail sales per passenger should grow this year. So is this just being conservative, or am I missing anything here? And the second one is on taxes. Can you give any guidance on the tax rate for 2014, please?
I agree with you. Our EBITDA guidance is somehow conservative, and there are good reasons to expect that it could be better than we saw it when we issued the guidance. The tax rate was for this year 24.3, and we do not expect a major change for 14.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take the next question from Alexandra Arado-Dozer from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. First, a follow-up question. Can you please quantify the negative EBITDA impact from the severe winter conditions in Q1 2013? Then on retail, you plan to redesign passenger flows in the old terminals in Q1 this year. Can you please give us an update on this? And then my last question on Air Berlin. Can you please give us some more details on Air Berlin's plans in Vienna this year? Will they continue to use Vienna Airport as a hub for flights to Greece during the summer flight schedule?
Yes, let me start with your third question. Yes, it's still the intention of Air Berlin / Niki to use Vienna as a Greece hub. They actually intend to grow their Greece hub here in Vienna, and I think it worked very well in 2013. Apart from the Greece hub, they have the intention to add some flights to Madrid, Malta, and Larnaca. So their leisure focus will continue, and we expect Air Berlin Niki to grow at least slightly in 2014 here in Vienna. We'll change the passenger flow in our old terminal by at the latest mid this year, as soon as the walkthrough shop is open. Maybe we manage a bit before that. It could be April, but at the latest by mid-year, the passenger flow will be consolidated through the main shopping area in our old terminal through a walk-through duty-free shop.
Yeah, I mean, it would be unfortunately too easy to come down to just one amount because we are now end of February, so it depends on a lot of issues what finally the difference in costs will be 13 to 14. I mean, clearly, transportation costs, for example, for a snow, have been 1.1 million in 13. If we don't have any snow, this will be reduced very substantially. On the other hand, overtime was very substantial in the first 2 months of last year and is not exactly divided what was caused exactly by snowfall and winter and was what was triggered by other events, by delays of passengers and so on. In general, a situation as we see it this year is affecting revenues in the first month because the icing has clearly a positive effect, but it is by far more reducing costs on the side of de-icing material, of transportation, and of workforce. Where it finally will end, let's see. I mean, it's unfortunately too early to tell that because it could also be very nasty in March, in April. We had very substantial revenues also later last year or even in the second part of the year. So it is not possible to give just one figure and say that's the difference.
Maybe to add on top of that, I think what you have to have in mind as well is that there's no clear ratio between costs and revenues. Because it depends a lot on if there is de-icing on the weather conditions. The perfect weather for an airport is something around plus minus 0 degrees, so minus one, without snow. So if it's wet but no snow and very slightly negative degree, this is the perfect weather because you don't have to use any de-icing on the runway, but still the aircraft are coming in for de-icing. So it depends a lot on the detailed weather conditions over a full winter period to determine if the effect is positive or negative for the company in total. But what's clear is, as Günther said, there will be a negative impact on the revenues in the ground handling segment, and there will be a positive effect in terms of costs of all sorts, in mainly in the airport segment and to a certain extent in the ground handling segment as well, due to the reduction in the use of de-icing material.
Thank you very much.
We'll now take the next question from Daniel Ruivo from Morgan Stanley.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Daniel Ruivo from Morgan Stanley. Just one follow-up, please. You mentioned that the court case involving Vienna would not be solved over the next, or it could take 1 to 2 years to get it solved. Can I just clarify why you think it will take so long, and what exactly, why it will take so long, please?
Yeah, the Austrian courts has referred this court case to the European Court of Justice, and therefore we expect that it still might take quite a significant time. But this is an estimation. This is not a.
So what are we expecting to hear next? And is it the European Court of Justice?
Yes.
And you expect them? You don't expect them to say anything before? I don't know, another year or two. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
But we are talking about the court case of Austrian Airlines, just to, because you were not...
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
There are no further questions in the queue. I'd like to hand the call back over to your hosts for any additional or closing remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. I hope we could answer all your questions. If not, and you have some remaining topics left, then please feel free to get back to us. I wish you a nice afternoon and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.